It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and industries, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, marketing, advertising, time management, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer. Thank you. And the devoted team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina. Thank you very much. And of course, to the great folks here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Thank you very much. Well, also wanted to give special thanks and a mention to some of the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the new column, Take 5. The first episode featured David Colby and the insights that he shared. A really great show, actually. And anyone that missed it, you could go to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. If you enjoy listening on iTunes, just on your computer, etc., it's all there at WABCBizRadio.com. We're also, you could hear us through the C-Suite Radio and Audio Boom, iTunes, YouTube, the Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. In fact, tonight's show is going to be up a featured show that's going to be where it might run actually appearing at C-Suite TV. That's something that's pretty cool. That's coming up soon. We're going to be featured on Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Roku. And as my guests inform me, that's how life works. We never thought of that when we started. And I just want to remind the listeners before we jump into our incredible guest, the guest archive, this show and every single episode, the roughly 85 episodes we've done so far, are all available at WABCBizRadio.com. You could pick up the one we had with David Colby, CEO of Colby Corporation, Chris McCann, the CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Rich Marin, the CEO of New York Wheel, Dawn Fay, District President at Robert Heft, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield, he's running for Mayor of New York, James Rosebush, former Senior Advisor to President Ronald Reagan and author of True Reagan, Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS, and so many other incredible guests are all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, some background about our incredible guest this evening. John McLaughlin is the CEO of McLaughlin & Associates. John has worked with many, many campaigns. Not sure where to start. I'll just name toss a couple. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jeb Bush. He works internationally, Benjamin Netanyahu. And John was a political strategist and pollster for President Donald Trump. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's incredible edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss many things, including how to interpret polling data and tailor messaging accordingly, how a business can benefit from polling data, and perhaps we'll also get to how polling has changed over the past 30 years. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to John McLaughlin. John, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, it's an honor to be here.
Thank you.
And you're an old friend. Congressman Bob Turner's race.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. You know, this is going to be just one incredible show that really anyone in the political world is going to access. Let's reminisce. Mm-hmm. It's 2011, I believe.
Right, September 2011.
And Anthony Weiner ducks right. out of the race.
Right.
Well,
and it's a vacancy.
It's a vacancy. We'll leave it at that, folks. It's a vacancy. And David Weprin is running for a seat as a Dem. And Bob Turner, who ran previously for that seat and actually did quite well, like he got over 40%, if I'm not mistaken, the numbers were, decides he's a gutsy fellow, really great individual. He says, I'm going to go for it.
Right.
And let's take it from there. Well, and his chances were, I don't know, 20%, 25%. He had a 1-4 chance.
Well, it's a 60-20 Democrat to Republican district.
Yeah. Maybe even more. A
60% are registered Democrats in the old district, the old ninth.
It doesn't exist anymore, that district.
Yeah, it's gone. We lost the seat.
I thought it was even higher.
But redistricting, okay. We lost the seat. But Bob had run prior year in 2010. Right. Against Anthony Weiner. And he took him on, and he laid out some issues that, sooner or later he had stepped down because of his character. But we had this open vacancy seat there, and Bob stepped up again, and he decided to run. And you grew up in New York, I grew up in New York, we know how to win tough races. I mean, people, you go to Kansas, South Dakota.
And Donald Trump is from New York.
Right. Donald Trump is from New York. You go to Kansas, South Dakota, where there's more Republicans than there are Democrats. And you're like, how do you guys ever lose a race out here? But but in that district, you had to win. And it's also New York, so it's complex.
Right.
You had to win among, you had to bring over a certain amount of Democrats.
Right.
You had to win among Catholic ethnics.
That's
you
right.
had to win among Jewish voters.
Right.
And Jewish voters are not monolithic in the district because
right.
you have Reform, Conservative,
That's
Orthodox.
Right. That's right.
And we did.
And David Weprin
right.
is an Orthodox Jew.
Right. But the interesting part was at that point in time, we had Barack Obama.
That's right.
And the president was really pushing buttons on voters. The economy wasn't good. The people were very upset in that district. A third of the voters happened to be Jewish, and they were very upset about his stance on Israel. And right off the bat, former Mayor Koch had met with Bob and said, would you cut Social Security and Medicare? And he said, no, I promise I'll never vote to do that. He says, fine, I want to give you support to you because you will send a message to President Obama on Israel. And, we did a post-election survey after that election, and Bob Turner won the Jewish vote 52-48. And to your credit,
thank you.
You and your friends worked very hard for Bob, and Bob always appreciated that. He still does. I know he's the Queens County Republican
right.
chairman. But Bob did a great job, and we did send the president a message.
That's
and,
right.
and it was precisely on those issues. And, the president turned around, called Ed Koch. But it was a really special election because, as you and I were talking, the people in Washington, the Republicans,
right.
didn't want to invest in the race.
Right.
And
right. It was back in 1919 or something, like the last time that a Republican
right.
had carried that seat.
Right.
And it was like that was basically impossible. They were like they were amused almost by the possibility that a Republican would capture it.
What's worse is the Republicans in Washington, they had a bad string of losing special elections in
right.
New York at that point.
Right. Right.
And to their credit, the executive director was very fair, and he said, look, we haven't had a good run of
yeah.
of
right.
races that we should have won in New York. Upstate, where they had Republican seats,
right.
and they were saying we should have won, so we don't really have a good track record.
Right. So we
we did one survey. O.B. Murray was the campaign manager. We did a survey, and John Rogers, who was their field guy from the NRCC, who's from New York, all thought we could win this race because we were 8 points behind, and we didn't have much money to spend on polling.
Mm-hmm.
And we later did a survey close in where we were tied, and we were telling them we could win, and I was telling them. Because I had another race out in Nevada for Congressman Mark Amadei. It was a special election. It was open.
I think there were only two elections like in America that day or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Two important bellwether elections, but in very different places.
Right.
One was Reno, Nevada,
yeah.
and most of the state was desert.
And one was
and it started out close, and we ended up winning by 22 points.
Wow.
Both races, Obama was in most of our ads.
Right.
And because
right.
remember at the time, what the big trick was in both Bob's race and in Amadei's race, the Democrats were going to attack us for being Paul Ryan Republicans that we wanted to cut
right.
Medicare.
Right.
In both races, we had in Bob's race mailing and in the Reno race, we were able to run TV ads where we said, no, the Democrats, it was Barack Obama who actually cut Medicare, and he cut it by $700 billion to pay for Obamacare. And once they came and did that, we had tested those ideas in our ads. And once they came and did that, we flipped both races on them because it wasn't just Israel. It was also
right.
the economy. It was
right.
also Obamacare had hurt Medicare. So we were able to use those issues, and we'd identified them in the surveys. And Bob ran a great race, and you did a
but
great job
you.
For him.
Thank
Seriously.
You so much. Thank you. I remember that race well. I remember at the very beginning, heading into whatever it was in August, before we created our first piece and telling Obi at the time, say, I just want to study John McLaughlin's data. I want to really study it and then create the pieces. And he said, you're right, and you should wait. And sure enough, when I studied the data and the questions, even the I'd love to even now address, I mean, you're in polling for many years. Mm-hmm. It's such an incredible, perhaps it's fair to say, an art and a science.
Right.
It's really both. I know when I study the data, and when I, in that race, I mean, I remember creating the first direct mail piece with Obama with his feet up on the desk.
Right.
That famous one. And also he had taken a bus tour. So we had used that line, you know, Obama threw Israel under the bus.
That's right.
Something like that. And
it's a great mail piece.
And thank you. And I remember on the side putting, and everyone always looks at the fine print, I added in fine print purposely, mm-hmm. I wrote, actual photo of Barack Obama speaking with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
To like, add that little zap.
Yes. You know? He did.
Because I studied the polling data and I saw the frustration in the district with how Obama was treating Israel.
Right.
So coming back to polling, maybe you could even talk about your background and then the world of polling.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's, it's such a basic question for you, but just for the benefit of the listeners.
Well, I'm an old man at this game.
I've
been doing it for a while where I used to volunteer for campaigns in the 70s, and I volunteered when I was in college for Reagan's 76 campaign
okay.
in New York. And then in 80, I was volunteering campaigns. And during the time, I got to meet a person named Arthur Finkelstein, who was one of the major, he was very young at the time, one of the major national pollsters across the country. In fact, when he worked for Senator Helms in 76, he had actually helped save Reagan's campaign after they lost six primaries straight. They were able to win North Carolina, and that saved Ronald Reagan, saved his political career.
Yeah.
So I ended up working for him in 1982, where before that I'd gotten my MBA in finance, quantitative methods. I had a business background. I was working in banking and finance. But Arthur knew me from volunteering for different races, including D'Amato's, and he offered me a chance to make my hobby a living. And what was great about it was Arthur always said, you know, it was great to be a witness to history.
Wow.
And I've certainly, in a lot of these races, when you think about it, the difference we have made for the world.
That's so true.
I mean, when you think about Donald Trump, by the way, remember, Donald Trump endorsed Bob Turner in that race.
That's right.
And I've known Donald Trump for years. I mean, he did look at running in 2011. He was looking at running in the 2012 race, and he decided not to.
Right.
We did get him to help Bob Turner in the special in September. But when you think about the difference that it makes that Donald Trump won this election, this past presidential election, that Prime Minister Netanyahu was able to win his election. I mean, the world would have gone in a very different direction had these leaders not won their election. So it really matters and makes a difference. And when you think of the kind of, I guess it's almost awe-inspiring when you think about the difference that people can make when they're doing the right things, and
such a beautiful point.
Millions of people in America.
Such a beautiful point. It's when God gives someone the opportunity to use their talents to make a difference.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with getting a paycheck doing it. Nothing wrong.
Oh.
It doesn't. You know, it could be altruistic, but to make a difference is really adds.
I will tell you on that point. I mean, we still do. My brother Jim and I run our polling firm, McLaughlin Associates. We have a website, McLaughlinOnline.com. Half our work is not political. Half of it's corporate.
That's important to know.
And it's for major corporations across the country. I mean, we've worked for Verizon Fios. We've worked for Smithfield. We've worked for large, Pfizer. We've worked for healthcare companies. But those surveys are about making money. They have nothing to do with politics. Where if that corporate client's market share goes up 1%, they're ecstatic because they make a lot of money and it's real money. And those surveys, those market research surveys, they pay better, they demand less, but people will take the information because what you're really selling is strategic information and knowledge.
Right.
And they'll take those surveys and they'll say, you know, this is wonderful. And if I had any brains, politics pays less. Some people do very well with it, but it pays less. It's more aggravating. You're on call 24/7. But but you do it because you love it, and it really makes a difference.
It makes a difference. Well, and of course, it gets the adrenaline rush a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My guest this evening is none other than John McLaughlin, the CEO of McLaughlin Associates, pollster and political strategist. Many weeks we have a giveaway, and our giveaway this week is going to be the book by Steve Rizzo, Motivate This, How to Start Each Day with an Unstoppable Attitude to Succeed Regardless of Your Circumstances. This book can be yours by, well, you can enter the sweepstakes. One lucky winner is going to get it by sending a text to 22828. Put in the letters MYB, Mind Your Business. That simple. Put in the letters MYB, send it over to 22828. There you go. And you're automatically entered into this giveaway for the book by Steve Rizzo, Motivate This. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and C-Suite Radio and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than John McLaughlin, CEO, a lot of accolades, but CEO of McLaughlin Associates, pollster, political strategist. What am I missing? Missing a lot.
I just do my job for my clients. That's all.
Man, now, You talked about that before. Let's go back to the political side. You've on the national side. You've done governor. I mean, you've done every type of race imaginable. Right. Perhaps you could share
right.
some a great anecdote or two. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jeb Bush. I mean, Donald Trump. You got to have some good stories.
Well, you know, there's been times the polls are not always great, and you have to. I always try to be truthful with my candidates or clients. I'd rather call them candidates because they, over the course of the campaign, they tend to be friends, but they're really serious about winning the election. And you don't always deliver good news. Sometimes you have to deliver surveys that are not so good news. Like one time, Governor Schwarzenegger, we won the special election. It was historic. You know, the field was over 130 candidates, and he ended up winning that special election. But then he decided to make reforms. And in one of his budgets, he cut education. And I was telling him, I was saying, you know, and Maria, his wife, was a good advisor, close advisor of him. And I was saying, can't we cut something other than education? The teachers union has a lot of money. And, they will use that money to attack you. And, he was... You know, they did it, and the teachers union ran tens of millions of ads to beat his referendums, and one of them was to take away union dues from the forced union dues, so they wouldn't have that kind of money to do it. But they did it, and I'm telling him, I said, you don't want to do this. We want to do some compromise to get you reelected, and he's like, no, polls are like you know, because his negatives have gone up over 40% in California. They'd really spent a lot of money. And he's like, you know, polls are like muscles. You have to pump them up every now and then.
It's funny he said that.
And he's telling me, you know, nobody likes a movie if everything's going along nice and smooth and you have high variables.
Can't argue with him on
that.
It
has to be some drama. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. But he ended up doing a very good job, got reelected, and he was a historic governor, and for Prime Minister Netanyahu, you know, I've worked for him for a number of years, for a long time, and the last election was certainly historic in that our president had organized an opposition to him and tried to beat him
within Israel,
the super PAC
on American dollars.
Yes, they used American tax dollars. The Senate found that out. It's very underreported over here.
Yeah.
And they talk about Russian meddling.
Yeah.
Barack Obama actually meddled in the Israeli election on March 17th in 2015.
Against official laws.
Yeah, yeah. And the prime minister, they called me to go over. It was like December 2015. He called an election. He calls an election. He's in second place. I'm like, who calls an election when you're in second place? and he says, well, the government had to change or whatever. I'm like, okay. We'll figure out how to win. When's the election? He says March 17th. I'm like, don't you have a parade over here on that day? I mean, me being from New York. Because he used to, he would tell people, he's the smartest Irish pollster I ever met. And I'm like, how many you got over here? I thought that was a compliment. You know, he grew up in Philadelphia, so he's very pro-American. His dad had taught in Philadelphia, so but really, when you think about it, he's one of the most brilliant people I've ever worked for, and what he has done for Israel and the world to speak out in the truth. Because during that campaign, he got invited by Speaker Boehner to address Congress.
The famous,
And the prime minister could have gone along with Barack Obama. He could have gone along with some crazy stuff that our president was.
Yeah,
remember when they first met. President Obama was talking about rolling back to the 67 borders, which they can't defend, was talking about granting any Arab the right of return into Israel, which would destroy it, and splitting Jerusalem.
Yeah.
When I saw him in December 2014, he was saying, you know, I told him I had to go back because my wife expected me to go back for Christmas. And he said, he says, he's trying to keep me to stay. And I said, well, can I go to Bethlehem? He says, no, you can't go there. I can't keep you safe. They're giving it back to the Palestinians. And when you think about that, if we ever split Jerusalem and you give it to, they are surrounded by all these bad people, Hezbollah, Hamas. I mean, they're Fatah. They're all terrorist groups. ISIS is all over now, and Hezbollah, and they're shooting rockets into Israel even as we speak, and it is not a good part of the world, and he's keeping Israel safe, he's keeping democracy safe, and if they ever got their hands on Jerusalem, whether it's a Jewish holy site or a Christian holy site, it would be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be really tragic for the world, and the ethnic cleansing that's going on of Christians throughout the whole Middle East, and the persecution of Christians, you know, it's really underreported and sad. And Prime Minister Netanyahu's the one standing up, telling the world the truth.
Like a single voice out there.
Yes.
Now, you've also worked with many other international figures and races, and one of them was Stephen Harper of Canada. Right. Maybe you could share something about Canadians.
Well, Stephen, he was a leader of the National Citizens Coalition, which was an independent, nonpartisan group when I first got to meet him and work with him. And he was speaking out in Canada while Chrétien was prime minister, and they were certainly a left-of-center country at the time. And Stephen decided to run for the opposition at the time was the Canadian Alliance, and he decided to run for the leadership of that. And he says to me, do you think I should run? There are single digits in the polls and over 10 million in debt. And I said, sure, because if you win, you're the leader of Her Majesty's opposition. And when they don't do well, you will become prime minister. And he actually figured a way to reinvent the Canadian Alliance and the Conservative Party. So that there's now a very strong Conservative Party in Canada. And the one poll I did for him when he'd lost the first election in 2004. Then he asked me to take a poll for him because he was thinking of stepping down as leader. And I did the poll and I said, no, they like you. They just want to torture you and get to know you for a while. And that's the amazing thing is I only do polling in Democratic countries where they don't shoot the pollster.
That's good. That's why you're around.
So. Right, right. And even then, I've had a lot of candidates where they've looked at the polls and they want to shoot the pollster. But he had lost. And I said, no, they like you. They really want you to run again. And the next time around, you will win. And that was the one poll I did for him. And we've been friends. You know, at times I'll give him free advice. But he has a very good Canadian team that worked for him over the years. He was prime minister for 10 years, which is a long run in that kind of a system. So I used to kid him at the time because most of the time President Obama was our leader. And I used to say, you know, Stephen, you are now the leader of the free world.
That's right.
In Canada. And he did. He would speak out. Most Americans don't know him, but he would speak out on behalf of Canada, on behalf of Israel, on behalf of the NATO alliance.
He was a great friend.
Yes.
A great friend, a true friend. You touched on it before, John. How can a business benefit from polling data?
Well, the business, when you do the polling, I mean, the name of the game in politics is you have to get 50% or better usually. Yeah. So it's pretty tough. You know, it's usually almost you win the election or you don't win the election.
Right.
And businesses, it's about trying to improve market share and it's trying to get information. So what you do is when you take a survey, you're looking at whether it's consumer attitudes, whether you're looking at brand attitudes, you're looking at things that would actually create a win situation for you that people will buy your product, that they will succeed. So a lot of times we take surveys and they're very in-depth and these surveys are not published because this is really important brand strategic information. They will take the survey, they will look at the strengths and weaknesses of the product, you'll identify a market, you'll identify the key segments that would maybe your customers. You'll identify issues related to specific products, specific brands that you might want to have. You'll also look at how to allocate resources. Virtually every survey we take, we'll ask people what social media they use most. We'll ask people how they get their information, how they make their decisions, who do they consult with. And then you develop some level of progress where you'll send some benchmarks and you'll say, this is a reasonable goal for the business. Most oftentimes they'll come back and do more surveys to see how they're moving their goals along. And for most businesses, there are very definite election days when people decide every day whether they're buying a product, when people decide every day, basically, if they're going to a business's website, if they're buying online, if they're going to this, whatever stores, et cetera, to make a decision. So, you know, that's
on the business side.
That's on the business side.
Now, an important question is, and again, I'm just taking this from a recent issue of Fortune magazine. This is the February 1st issue. They had on page 17 a story about why you click on those cat videos.
Right.
And I'm just going to read over here in two sentences. The social media giant, as they're talking about Facebook, has found that every user has two distinct taste profiles, what they like and what they say they like. For example, many people tell Facebook in surveys that they like news stories, but then they almost exclusively click on baby photos and funny videos.
Right.
So my question to you is, how do you collect accurate data when there's kind of two profiles of people, what they say, and soon we'll get to the right. Kellyanne Conway, how she, you know, properly identified, you know, the Trump supporter. But how does it work for the purpose of this particular moment in the conversation? How does it work in terms of collecting data? If you're asking people and they may say one thing, but really will vote or purchase something else.
Well, there's actual behavior. So you need to compare actual behavior with what people might think they want people to think about them. And there's different ways of finding this out. And certainly experienced researchers, when you're doing real questionnaires to ask people, whether it's online, whether it's on the phone, whether it's in person, whether it's in focus groups, whether it's in qualitative research.
And you do all those types.
Yes, we do all those types of research because what we're really getting involved in is you're gathering data that you then turn into information, that you then turn into knowledge.
Right, and so that means that at the core, it must be accurate as humanly possible.
And you have to give it an analysis. A lot of times people will tell you what they want you to think, But then they'll go do something else. And you have to be able to read through it and say, they really don't mean this. Because what it comes down to it, they're going to buy X or they're going to do X in the market. Right. And there's a way of finding those types of things out. And there's trick questions that you can structure that you know, you may ask people about, and you do this politically too, but you'll ask people about, okay, are you going to buy product X? Well, what do you think most of your friends and neighbors are buying? And all of a sudden you'll get the honest answer. And you'll ask questions about their buyer consumer habits. I mean, we're doing a lot of research right now where we're asking people about the economy, if they're going to make a significant purchase, if they're going to buy a certain type of product. That with the economy being flat for the last pretty much 8 years during President Obama's time there, the average person, a significant minority, a plurality of voters, about 4 in 10 voters, still think that the country's in a recession. Now, they think it's getting better under Trump, which is interesting because he's giving people optimism and hope, and that's why you're seeing the market go up. But still, GDP hasn't gone up. So the Republicans really better get their act together and get those pro-growth tax cuts passed. Wow. Otherwise, we will have a bad midterm election. And things won't go as well, but we're hopeful that things will.
But coming back to this original point, you have ways through various different methods of getting good. Now again, I've seen that on the Bob Turner race, which wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's 5-6 years ago. But you have some real tricks in the bag to get real accurate data on what the voter is thinking, on what the consumer is thinking, et cetera.
Right. We have pioneered ways to survey online. We've been doing online surveys for decades now. Okay. Certainly, I did some very successful online surveys back in 98, and we do focus groups online. And when you do things online, you eliminate the factor that somebody's speaking with you.
That's true.
And they may want to give you a...
They could be more honest.
Right, they could be more honest. And what will happen is, online surveys, you can show them something, whether it's a video, whether it's a graphic, whether it's... you can actually show them something where they can make a buyer decision and see what they do. So you can follow them on the page that, yeah, by the way, they're not buying your product. They're clicking the video about the cat, and they're liking that. And then you can compare that with all sorts of Facebook stats and all sorts of Instagram, Snapchat stats, where you can then see, hey, this is what real behavior is like. And this
data is accurate.
Right. And it's science and the technology is moving so fast, but the information, you get so much information that you can then merge that with your analytics and your algorithms, and you can say, this is what's really going to happen.
So are you also studying data without even interacting with someone? Maybe like just by looking at hashtags, the way they're flying through on Twitter or et cetera, could that also play into the way you curate your data?
Right. When a client comes to us, we'll get a lot of information about what their needs are and what they want to ask and what they want to find out. And a lot of the time, we're getting that information from them. We'll say to them, okay, how many Facebook followers do you have? How many customers do you have online? How many emails do you have? Tell us about what they're doing. What do you want them to do? So we get all those statistics. And then we'll shape strategic questions around what they want to do in terms of selling their product or changing their brand or improving their brand image. And then you go and you execute the survey, and whether it's online or whether it's on the phone or in person, on cell phones, you merge all that together. It could be a mix of all those types of research.
My guest this evening is none other than John McLaughlin, CEO of McLaughlin & Associates, pollster, political strategist for, you name it, for many of the most famous names in the world. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned. Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com, that is csuitenetwork.com, to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-Suite executives like you. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC on the 77 WABC app. And, of course, around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Well, first of all, again, if you're just tuning in now, no worries. Usually by Tuesday morning following the airing of this show, it will be available at WABCBizRadio.com. In this particular case, we will also try to have the video available at the same time. Because this will be really, this is just a really incredible special edition of Mind Your Business. And I can't thank John McLaughlin, CEO of McLaughlin Associates, pollster and political strategist, for joining me here in studio for this edition of Mind
Again,
Your Business.
It's a pleasure to be here. You're a friend.
Such a treat.
We've known each other for years.
Thank you.
And you've helped elect some of my clients.
Thank you.
So that's the most important part.
Thank you. Well, let's talk about this year, this past year, 2016, and this historic upset of the presidency of Donald Trump. Now, what I want to do is introduce this part of the conversation by, this is a Washington Post story that came out, I believe, the very next day after Election Day in 16. And the headline was, "The media didn't want to believe Trump could win, so they looked the other way."
Right.
Now, this is a one of the takeaways that I felt from the race was that polling data, and in fact, there was so many stories. You know, how was the data so wrong?
Right.
And I remember when I was looking at your data, you had him in there, or at least it was a race, it was a horse race. And what's interesting is I didn't feel that the data was wrong; it was the translation that was wrong.
Right.
And in fact, this writer, Margaret Sullivan, you know, put it, she said here, to put it bluntly, the media missed the story. In the end, a huge number of American voters wanted something different. And although these voters shouted and screamed it, most journalists weren't listening. They didn't get it. So this is like something where, was it the polling data by other firms that had it wrong, or was just a translation? They you know, it was a confirmation bias, if you will. They just wanted to hear that Hillary was going to take it, and therefore, even that margin of error always got skewed towards Hillary.
Right. Well, it's both wrong in the analysis, and it's wrong in the way they did their research too. Their models were wrong. The most of the media surveys were based on the 2012 election. And, you know, that was a +6 election where you had more +6 Democrat election. Mm-hmm. We had more younger voters, more minority voters. And the Democrats had a stronger base than the Republicans at that point, where people were driven off. And I always had a theory that Hillary Clinton was not Barack Obama. And I've known Donald Trump for a number of years. We looked at the race in May of 2011, and he decided not to run at that point against President Obama. But in 2015, while I was working for Prime Minister Netanyahu, I got a call from Corey Lewandowski, who was somebody I recommended to Trump a few years before, as well as some other people, Jason Miller, his communications guy. I mean, we were going to run a real campaign against Barack Obama, and Donald Trump decided not to. Celebrity Apprentice was going to pay him 10 million episodes instead of 5 million episodes. I said, take the money. And Donald Trump, he's a PR genius. I mean, he's his own strategist. And those of us who were taking the surveys, and we did a lot of surveys, and our surveys, there was this, I was in a unique position because I'm not only taking surveys to report on the election, I'm taking surveys to affect Donald Trump's strategy,
right,
to basically help him win. And we really had a three-pronged strategy where, first of all, we were getting all the change voters, where we were going to maximize those voters who were unfavorable to Hillary Clinton, unfavorable to Barack Obama. We'd ask the question, and it's published online in our surveys, McLaughlinOnline.com. We asked people, do you want to continue the policies of Barack Obama or change and move in a different direction? And we started asking that strategic question in September of 2015, and 57 to 34, the majority of Americans said they want to change.
Wow, 57.
Right. So really, I got back involved more with Trump basically during the primaries, particularly the day after he lost the Wisconsin primary. He called me up, and we met the next day, and we had to win New York. We had to win the Northeast, and more important, we had to drive Cruz out of the race by beating him in Indiana.
That was the last state. He kept on holding on.
Right. Yeah. And if we had an open convention, the establishment could have stolen it from us.
Yeah.
And so, well, while we maximized winning in New York with our message of change, we were also going to wrap up the nomination, become the change right. candidate in the race. And every survey that we did, whether it was during that period or for the general election, every survey, as other pollsters came on, we had that question in every poll that was asked right through to the end, because we were targeting people that want to change that weren't yet voting for Trump. Second thing was, we were going to siphon up candidates that were voting for these third party candidates. Hillary Clinton never got a majority of the vote in all the polls, which to me, she was like an incumbent. We've known her for 25 years.
Right.
So if the majority of voters don't want to vote for you after 25 years or 26 years, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
So we were going to siphon up, because remember at times the Libertarian candidate Johnson was getting double digits in some of the polls.
And even just to go back on the Dem side, the fact that Sanders held out for that length was astounding.
Right. And it wasn't just Sanders. It was, the election was always Hillary Clinton, not Hillary Clinton. So Sanders became, when you think about it, he almost beat her. And he was here's this guy who moved from Brooklyn years ago to become a senator in Vermont.
Just
Vermont's
off the
a
charts.
Tiny state.
Like, it's impossible.
There was nothing about him.
And with the DNC, until everything finally came out, the DNC trying to undermine
him. Oh, they did.
All came out.
I mean, they were trying to rig the election for her back then. Yeah. But he was the not Hillary candidate. And Trump was the not Hillary candidate.
Right.
Although he likes it about him,
it
was a not Hillary candidate. And there was a third piece besides siphoning up these third party votes. Third piece was 90 million people didn't vote in 2012 that were eligible to vote. That's a lot of Americans to stay home. In fact, the turnout had dropped from the 2008 election to 2012. So only 131 million Americans went to the polls that day. So there were 90 million people that we could go after. And we had done surveys for other clients in 2013 of people that had voted in 2008, 2010, but didn't vote in 12. And when we ran lists of those voters, there was 500,000 in Virginia. There was 800,000 in Ohio. There was 1 million in Florida. Those three states, those numbers, if they had come out, they would have delivered the election for Romney. So We did some research and we said, who are these voters? They were virtually all working class voters who made less than $60,000 a year, who basically missing a paycheck, an unforeseen car repair, a health crisis, they go broke. And they weren't going to vote for Barack Obama. But Obama ran such a negative campaign. By the time Election Day hit, they thought he was like the rich guy in Caddyshack who ran the country club. They didn't want to vote for the guy. So they walked away from the election. Trump, it's so ironic. Trump understood those voters. Donald Trump basically ran a campaign. Here's this New York City billionaire running against the establishment, a historic campaign where he basically beat the Republican establishment because of working class voters voting for a New York City real estate billionaire to send the Republican establishment a message in the primaries, to send the Washington establishment a message in the general election. It has never been done before. And the last time, I mean, I did speak with the president right before Christmas. He called me, wished me a Merry Christmas. We were talking about it. I said, the only time that's comparison, maybe when Andrew Jackson won in 1828, I mean, he beat the establishment, but at the time they widened the electorate to more Westerners and poor people.
Yeah, more predictable than what Trump pulled off.
But Trump brought in 139 million voters, which was 8 million more than 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And most of it was in the battleground states he was targeting in working class communities. So we were basically, when you asked why were these media polls wrong? Well, we were bringing in new people that they didn't see. Their models, they had an orthodoxy that they would just say, oh, that can't happen. Right. And some of the polls, I remember there was a Washington Post poll 2 weeks out, was plus 14 Democrat. I mean, do they think the Republicans are going to stay home? A lot of these polls right now that aren't favorable to Trump, they only have a quarter Republicans. Republicans are at least a third of the electorate. And when you play that kind of a game, you're drinking your own Kool-Aid, and it's bad data.
Now, Kellyanne Conway was even criticized for her theory. It turned out to be right, the undercover Trump voter. Can you even talk about that? To me, that was just, it was so revealing. And, of course, she was so right about that when she discussed that and how it skewed polling data.
Sure. Kellyanne's a long-term friend, and she's a fellow conservative. And actually, We don't live too far away, but now she's moved to Washington. Yeah. But I live suburbs of New York, and she lived in the suburbs of New Jersey. But so we worked together a number of years. So when she came on board the campaign, she did a fantastic job. Unbelievable. Yeah. The abuse she took from the media and how smart and brilliant she is. She did a great job. But her analysis, we were seeing this in all the pollsters. There were five pollsters ultimately. I was there first, but then Tony Fabrizio came on and Kellyanne came on. Adam Geller, who polled for Chris Christie, came on. And Mike Basilis, who polled for Governor Perry in Texas, came on. So you had, because you just can't read all these polls, especially one night. So we had five of us, five smart people working for the president who were analyzing these surveys. And we're looking and saying, these undecided voters, they're not really undecided. They don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't want to vote for her. And they certainly wanted the change message. But by the end of the campaign, we were asking a question, what matters more to you deciding to vote for president, Donald Trump's temperament or Hillary Clinton's corruption? And at some point, the corruption passed his temperament because they were trying to run a character attack on
him. Right. Absolutely. That's when they released the videos and the whole thing.
Yeah. And her corruption became real because when you look at, it's one thing, when 6 out of 10 voters, whenever we asked it, said she was dishonest. But her honesty was about, she was lying. But when it became her corruption, now you're affecting me. Now it affects my life. When you're selling uranium to the Russians, right, who are then going to sell it to Iran, you're affecting my safety and security. And the Clinton Foundation, the corruption in there, those stories percolated out. Her numbers went down. Donald Trump's numbers went up.
Wow. My guest this evening is none other than John McLaughlin, CEO of McLaughlin & Associates, pollster and political strategist. We're running low on time, but we still have so much to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's C-SUITE-TV.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand. And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. You could also follow me on social media. Well, why would you want to do that? Well, that's where we tease and alert the public to the upcoming guests that we're going to have on the show. The listeners would know that that John McLaughlin was going to be my guest this Sunday night. You would know a few days beforehand if you followed me on social media. Why Saftlis? In fact, I think I'm the only Yitzhak Saftlis in North America. So any way you spell it, I'll come up. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, it's all good and it's all there. My guest this evening is none other than John McLaughlin, CEO of McLaughlin & Associates, and of course the noted pollster, the noted and famous pollster and political strategist, and of course was one who worked for Donald Trump and had called that election before that incredible upset, before this tweet went out by the New York Times night, election night, where I'm looking at it now, we'll show it to the camera here, This is a historic tweet. I mean, you talk about 9 o'clock when polls were closing here in the East. I mean, still, Hillary at that point was up roughly, it's showing here, had a 74% chance of winning. And Donald Trump had a 29% chance of winning. And how this thing turned around in a matter of an hour or two. Unreal. Let's talk about push polling for a second.
Right.
When you're doing polling, how important is it to, you know, to package the questions in a certain way that will get the data? And if you do that, are you then generating inaccurate data?
Well, there's a big difference between push polling and message testing, where reputable pollsters don't do the push polling. Push polling is a communication tool where somebody calls you up and says, well, if you know so-and-so voted to raise your taxes, if you know they voted to release these criminals, if they know they run through a bunch of things, well, you're still going to vote for this person.
And basically, it's an influencing it's like direct mail kind of.
Right. And they don't really care at that point how you say you're going to vote. They're just doing it to hit those negative points. And they try to call every voter they can at that point, or, you know, send the messages that way. But those messages were usually pre-tested in a message testing poll, where a scientific poll will be taken and they'll run positives and negatives that come up in campaign research, whether it's vulnerability research about your candidate or it's opposition research about your opponent. They will test these messages, and they might test 10 or 20 things. They could test them online. They can test them, you know, in a phone interview. They could test them in focus groups. And then what they do is then the campaign puts them in ads, whether it's on TV, digital, radio, mail, or these push polls. So push polls are not real polls. It's a misnomer.
Great point. So, for example, in the Turner race, I would study your data, and then a push poll would be almost like hiring a telemarketing agency to call and say, well, do you find it's fair how Barack Obama is treating Netanyahu?
Right.
That would be a push poll type of question almost. Yeah.
And you know, and those types of things, like in the Turner race, you know, we found out that our opponent, support of the Ground Zero Mosque, which we had a video of him saying he wanted to build a mosque at Ground Zero.
I remember that.
And they spent in the last weekend, I think, $1 million for the Democrat committee on TV.
Burning through cash, huh?
And we spent $30,000 on cable with that one ad. And we ended up winning. And had a good number in the poll.
Unreal. So. Let me ask you a couple of final questions. Mm-hmm. You want to go on record with any predictions for 2020? Either is it going to be a Mark Cuban versus Donald Trump?
I think Donald Trump, I mean, we have these, you know, I mean, we're talking now, but in February we had poll numbers where Donald Trump had moved to a net positive position. We did a survey for SecureAmericaNow.org. Our friend Alan Roth runs that group. And the majority of Americans are getting the idea that this is a substantive man who's doing good things on security and trying on the economy. So I think Donald Trump is not a fluke. Donald Trump is somebody who got elected. He beat the odds. And now he's going to become a good president where he will be a successful president. I will tell you, he will get reelected in 2020.
Wow. And on record. You heard it here first.
Right. Exactly. He will get reelected because of the substance of his policies. He will get, if his tax cut program, his pro-growth economic program goes in as he basically, if the Republicans don't blow this, if they take his plan that he ran on and they put it into practice, the economy will grow. His security policies are already going to keep us safer. And I was talking about that February poll. For 4 years after President Obama got reelected, over 60% of all Americans for 4 years thought the country was on the wrong track. That's how we kept our majority in the House, got the Senate majority.
Right.
As of last month, we had 41% saying right direction, 48% wrong track. So it's moving in the right direction. The optimism is real because people see real action and real substance. So,
any quick takeaways on how to win the governor's race in New York?
Well, as you know, my brother Jim is my partner. He does the polling for Rob Astorino.
Nice.
So, you know, Rob,
I'm good friends with TJ.
Right, and our friend Bill O'Reilly works for him, et cetera.
That's right.
So, you know, Rob's still the Westchester County exec.
Right.
He should win re-election. And he, you know, hopefully he runs for governor again. If he doesn't, you have strong people like Harry Wilson and others that could make a race. But I think I think there'll be surprises there. I'm not sure.
Amazing.
Andrew's a smart Andrew. I'm not sure Governor Cuomo is as popular as.
He would like to jump in 2020 for presidency.
Well,
probably.
I got a feeling that he's going to look at Donald Trump's numbers then, and he doesn't.
Wow! In the final 60 seconds, any takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Takeaways? I tell you, you've been a great friend of mine,
Thank you.
I learn from your show.
Thank you.
And your show is an educational experience in that usually you don't have political people, but you'll have business people. And you learn valuable things about how to conduct a business and you're selling success.
Amazing.
I would say if you're a listener, keep listening. So
my guest, John McLaughlin. See, thank you so much. What a great edition of Mind Your Business. In case you missed it, where were you? Well, no worries. That's what we have our website for, wabcbizradio.com. Stay tuned next for Rita Cosby up here next at 77 WABC. And tune in again next Sunday evening for another great edition of Mind Your Business with Yisroel Tzaphlis right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Tzaphlis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Tzaphlis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.